Donna Lana Kitchen talks about food. Donna Lana Kitchen talks recipes. Donna Lana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintos.
We gather here once a week around our kitchen table to talk about food, farming advice, recipes, and opinions. And we are here right in the center of Iowa, in Ames, Iowa, at the studios of KHOI Community Radio. Well, Donna, sounds like we're going to be racing the first frost soon here in central Iowa. Got to get those bed sheets out and cover things.
That's right. I think Friday night it's going to dip down, and rather than digging everything up, I'm just going to throw the towels and the sheets over them.
Because certainly it's going to warm up and stay warm until Christmas.
And I'm not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet for this.
Okay. Well, it's nice to have a time to slow down and harvest and enjoy. One of the things I made this week to kind of celebrate the last hoorah of the garden, I made a ground cherry apple pie. I have a nice batch of ground cherries this summer, and of course the light frost that we had nipped them pretty badly, so that was the last of them. But ground cherries and apples in a pie, it worked out pretty good.
Sounds wonderful. Now, ground cherries are one of those things you cannot buy at the supermarket.
No, and actually they grew pretty well. They are a tomato family thing.
Yeah, they look like cherry tomatoes with a husk of a tomatillo on them. And they're really yummy.
And no, they don't taste like tomatoes.
They don't taste like cherries either.
No, they don't taste like cherries. They taste sort of like apricots, sort of like, anyway, ground cherries are good. And it's a good Iowa thing. It's a fall thing. Well, on the Donna Lana Kitchen, we like to talk to farmers who are doing good things for the land, for the food we eat, for the local economy. Joining us at our table today is Nick Wallace. He has a vision for regenerative, humanely raised livestock right here in Iowa. I'm going to read a quote from an article about him that I read recently. This is a quote from Nick. "I want to change agriculture. I want to change our state's culture. I want to bring back small businesses, small towns, and families that want to create communities together." That sounds like a very tall order. Nick is an entrepreneur and a lifetime member of Practical Farmers of Iowa and has 20 years of experience in meat marketing through his current business, Wallace Farms. Welcome to the Donna Lana Kitchen, Nick.
Thank you very much. I'm very excited to be here.
Good.
All right. I have to say, you know, when I hear, okay, Nick has 20 years of experience in marketing, direct marketing of meat. He grew up on his family farm, right? Worked with his father. When I first moved to Ames 16 years ago, I met Nick right away because he was selling meat off of his truck. And it makes him sound like an old guy, but he's really not that old. He's just been doing this quite a while. And Nick, I'm very proud of you for being so forward thinking. You have probably been working most diligently, the longest, with direct marketing from farm to direct to consumer. And you got a lot of experience under your belt. So we want to know how you did it, how you keep going. And what is this new 99 counties thing?
Yeah, sure. It's been about 20 years since my family had a revelation. I'll just give you the quick hit on it. My dad went to an Acres USA conference. He saw Sally Fallon speak from the Weston A. Price Foundation. Mm-hmm. He came home and he said, "Everybody sit down. We are going to change the way we look at food." And this was a couple years removed from me having cancer as a 20-year-old. So from that moment, me having cancer was a blessing. So it changed our entire family trajectory. It changed my trajectory. And so we started very slow, one animal at a time, and we built out a direct marketing, nutrient-dense meat company over 20 years ago.
And okay, so, now when you're saying nutrient-dense, what do you mean by that?
Well, grass-fed beef has different makeup and nutrient density than corn-fed beef or feedlot beef. And actually now, just recently, they are really measuring not only macronutrient differences, but phytonutrient differences. And that's a whole other conversation. But this goes back to food as thy medicine. This is going to be the future of food. You know, you're either eating food and becoming healthier, or you're depleting your health and energy. So with that in mind, we didn't 20 years ago, we didn't exactly know all the things we do today, but my dad knew that grass-fed beef was going to be a major player and seen everywhere. Now, this is in 2000, so we thought he was crazy, but he was right. And I trusted him, and I built a small and fast-growing, you know, direct-to-consumer business here in Iowa and Chicago. And so I've been doing that over the last 20 years. And, so it's been quite an adventure.
So you have a sister-in-law who lives in Chicago, which allowed you to drive your product there and begin to access a larger market. I'm sure that helped stabilize a business to have a more concentrated point of sales.
Yes. I mean, she started it, and then I came in at a place to stay overnight, a place to plug in the freezer truck, and, it's kind of that home base. Mm-hmm. And so just last week, I did my last delivery off the back of the truck in Chicago. And I had been going to Chicago at least every third week, quicker than that since COVID. Every third week, I've gone to Chicago for 17 years delivering meat. And so that is a chapter that we just closed.
What's happening now then? Are you foregoing your Chicago market?
Nope, we're going to expand our Chicago market with our own van and our own delivery driver, which won't be me. They'll be stationed in the west suburbs of Chicago, Naperville. And we're going to do the same thing in Iowa. We're going to have our own van, or we hired our own delivery driver. And she's going to be making the rounds here in the next couple weeks. And we're moving. We decided to close the chapter on Wallace Farms after 20 years. And we're moving to a new model, a new business structure, and a new vision called 99 Counties.
Okay,
and so I'll back up. Yep.
Go ahead. You are then not only selling your own product from your Wallace Farms cows, but you're moving to a model of distributing other local farmers. Is that what this is?
Yep. So Wallace Farms was my farm and a handful of others, maybe five or six. I'll back up to 3 years ago. Again, this seems to be a common theme. I was at an Acres USA conference up in Minneapolis. I went up there to meet Zach Bush. I was listening to Ray He at Regeneration Farms, Tree Range Poultry. And he had this model for poultry that, could be easily done. And I was thinking we could do it in the backyard of every school. You know, every school should be raising their own chicken for eggs and meat, right?
But and for got fun me, and education.
Yeah, all the things. And for their microbiomes, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
So it got me thinking on the way home, what if we could do a regenerative farmer in every county of Iowa? Raise beef, pork, and poultry. And I grew up in Iowa, Strawberry Point. My dad farmed until the 80s, and then the 80s interest rates decided, he should do something else. But, I grew up kind of in an agricultural family. But so I grew up there, and I left, and I've lived multiple places and traveled the world a bit, and then I moved back to Iowa. And I didn't know how many counties were in Iowa. So I Googled how many counties are in Iowa, and it was 99 counties. And I immediately put my marketing hat on, and I said, that is the future. That's the name of the business. That's the name of the movement, and that's where we have to go. So I started running the math. What if we did 50 beef cows producing beef in every county, right? 99 times 50. What if we could get a hog producer that raised 100 hogs per county, right? We're not talking, each county's got a couple hundred thousand acres, right? And then what if we could get a tree, you know, this tree range or this model of poultry that's just a couple thousand birds, right, per county. And by the time I drove from Minneapolis back to the farm, 4-hour drive, I mean, I was like, I had the business plan ready to go. And then I started compounding it, right? So I'm thinking, what if 10% of Iowa could be, that's 2.5 million acres, give or take. What if that could produce regenerative beef, pork, and poultry? And so you wouldn't think that that would be a stretch. But if you did 10% of Iowa and value added that all up and down the chain, you're talking about $1 billion. You probably IPO'd business. IPO'd business. 10% of Iowa. Mm-hmm. What, Nebraska, Illinois. I mean, it proved to me how much we've lost, how much has gone the other way. You know, farmers have lost their sovereignty. I have to say that out loud. And I think farmers need to say it out loud too. Now we can debate how we got here and why. I understand. I don't blame the farmer, but all the seeds and all the chemicals and all the triple stack corn and all the Roundup beans, it's four or less companies, and we're only planting two crops in the most fertile, best soil, arguably in the world. And we're planting two crops, and 40% is going to ethanol. And farmer, and we don't have young farmers. We don't have an entry for them. We don't. All the list goes on and on, right?
Absolutely.
So how do we take that back? And so, 99 counties is my best effort, mentally, physically, spiritually, now to start to chip away and to like get people to realize that it starts in the soil, it moves to the farmer. The farmer's going to grow things, but you've got to have the middle piece. If you do not have the artisan food maker processor in the middle, you have nothing, right?
Well, that was going to be my next question, the processors.
Right? You've got to have, there's three legs to this. It's farmer, it's processor, it's customer, mm-hmm. eater, mm-hmm. family unit. Mm-hmm. So, if you, all three of those have to be the three legs of the stool. And so that is the quick version of 99 counties.
Well, let me ask you some questions. First of all, in terms of the farmers, there are, fortunately, here in Iowa, more direct-to-market farmers, particularly of meat, because that's something we do really well, than there were when you originally started it. Now, are you creating a system where these guys are all going to remain fairly independent, or are they going to, would it work for them dollars and cents wise to plug in with you? I mean, because the thing of having value added products of any nature, but especially meat, because it's a high value product, is that if you're selling direct to the consumer, more of that dollar goes back to the farmer, right? So how are you going to maintain that in the system that you're doing?
All right. Great question. I know that there's more small farmers that have joined this movement in the last 20 years with me. I also know a lot of farmers, and I'm sure you do too, Donna, that have wanted to do it, have done it, and then they've had to change their business operation because they couldn't scale or their body was breaking down. They're too busy. Cause you've got to
marketing is a bitch, isn't it?
I mean, last time I checked, farming is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. Marketing and distribution uh-huh. and the technology and the storage and in the middle is a full-time job.
Yes.
I mean, how many people can go to Chicago every third weekend, for 17 years? I mean, the only reason I could do that was because I had my dad and a couple other core employees that were doing a lot of the farming. Mm-hmm. So as I'm trying to think through 99 counties, we've got to be able to build the farms to scale so that they can raise animals, mm-hmm. have 99 counties with their livestock trailer, pick them up at the gate, hand the farmer a check, money check.
Oh, so you're gonna handle where the processing is done then?
We want that farmer to load their livestock, receive the check from us that pays the bills and gives them profit to go grab a beer, glass of wine, sit on the porch and take a breath and watch the sunset, right? Like, that's my dream.
So
are going to handle, the processing, the distribution, all the hard stuff in the middle.
Okay.
We're going direct to customer. I'm not going into the grocery store model.
Who are you using for processing these days?
We have a handful of Iowa and Southern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So Stacyville is Stacyville, Iowa processing. That's Regeneration Farms poultry plant. We're using SIG International for the custom slaughter of hogs. Then that's going to Dover, Minnesota. We've used Nave out in Clinton, Iowa. It's a new beef processor, and then Lorenz.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using some mid to small size processors.
Good.
But we need all of them.
You've actually got that. Oh yeah, you've got that all ironed out. Now, what are you gonna do? Pay the farmer a premium then, or rent it cooperatively, or what's your business structure gonna be?
We're just going to pay the farmer a premium. We try to work with them, and we're going to pay as much as we can for that product,
mm-hmm.
and take it all the way to the customer. And that's the real question: is are we going to get support from the customer level that recognizes the movement and will pay, more than what Trader Joe's or
right.
Right,
but
you've been doing. Yeah,
you've been doing this for 20 years, so you know your market.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting that money now. I just need to make it grow by 1,000, right? Like, and so I think if we're really transparent and we show people the farms and the processors and the process. And, there's not a huge corporation sitting in the middle of that dictating mm-hmm. how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I will bet all day that we will start with a core group of customers and we will grow that to scale, and we'll be able to onboard more farmers, more processors, and deliver more nutrient-dense food to customers' houses.
So does your existing market in Chicago, that being a very large urban area, does that help stabilize your business?
Yeah, I mean, Iowa only has 3 million people
right.
to pick, right? And so it's not like I'm not going to service Iowa. We're going to start with the major cities. So I'm fortunate enough in Keystone, Iowa here to live literally in the middle between Des Moines. If you run Des Moines, Ames, Cedar Falls, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, I'm almost directly in the middle. So we're going to service all of those customers within 100 miles of my farm. And then we're going to go into Chicago. And you're looking at 7, 8, 9 million people.
Right.
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 So that's really where the big marketplace growth
uh-huh,
will be.
Uh-huh.
And then we don't want to stop in Chicago. As soon as we can get to scale there, I'm within a day's drive and back of Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
Kansas City, St. Louis, right? So that comes back to what is Iowa. Iowa is in the center of the country, and we can serve, we probably have, 40, 50 million customers within a day's drive or so. Iowa should be the largest nutrient-dense, chemical-free, food-producing state in the union, not just record corn and soybean.
That's absolutely wonderful, because already so much of Iowa is being harvested, processed, slaughtered, grown, and it's already being shipped out to heaven knows where. It seems that we can back up and take a little more care with what we're doing.
Yeah, let's make it so Iowans benefit from this.
That's a good idea, Donna.
I'm going to throw in a little side here that's not really very aside. So for years, I used to go to the Prairie Festival, which is at the Land Institute in Salina, Kansas, which grows is working on perennializing the grains of the agricultural system. And so every year they have this kind of, well, they used to call it an intellectual hootenanny, right? And this year, one of the speakers was Eric Schlosser. Now, Eric Schlosser wrote Fast Food Nation 20 years ago. So, and anybody that wants to listen to this, you can go on the Land Institute's website, and they have recorded and YouTubed all of the presentations. And Eric Schlosser is on the first day, the Saturday, and he is the second speaker, and he was riveting. And so he says, basically, okay, 20 years ago, I wrote this book that was a New York Times bestseller. There was a film made out of it.
Fast Food Nation.
Fast Food Nation. Everybody read it. It was a big deal. You know, you'd think something would happen. He said, okay, 20 years later, it's only gotten worse. Right, Nick?
Right. I mean, you look at Iowa, and I drive it all the time. All I still see is corn and soybeans.
Heavily sprayed. The amount of pesticides have at the very least, and all of the other chemicals have at the very least doubled in the last 15 years. It's not getting any better.
No, it's not. And you drive through the small towns, they're getting more boarded up.
Mm-hmm.
You're losing enrollment in schools. The farmers are getting bigger in each county. And it won't be long before the farmer is only a technician, because they're going to have autonomous tractors. I mean, you're just going to lose the entire culture. The culture is everything. And so I'm not saying that we have to go back to the 1950s, but I am saying we need to bring what was great about the 50s and 60s, right? My dad talks about what Keystone, Iowa was all the time. They supported a small grocery store, a couple cafes, a bowling mm-hmm. alley, a movie theater. I mean, I'm talking a town of 500-600 people.
Yeah, and it was a good place to raise families.
Exactly. And so now you just see less and less people populate the countryside, which now, thank bless COVID, everybody's like, man, I don't necessarily want to live in the city all the time. It'd be nice to get some, you know, blue sky and fresh air and maybe touch some soil. So we've got to move back that way. So if we're going to do it, why don't we just get rid of the chemical farming, move to biological farming? It'll probably take us 10 years. Have the government subsidize it.
Yeah.
20 years. I don't know. I'm 45. I'd like to see it in my lifetime. My dad always says, took us 50 years to get into this mess. It might take us 50 to get out. Zach Bush would say we don't have more than 50.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if you just want the soil to turn into dirt, and the dirt's just going to hold up corn and
or blow
soybeans.
Away or wash away or, yeah.
Right. And cover crops are great, but they're not enough, because everybody who plants cover crops now just terminates it in the spring with more glyphosate. Like,
yeah.
Okay, maybe two steps forward, one and a half steps back. But like, diversity is everything with everything. That's where I want.
Well, I'm very encouraged, you know, another thing Wes Jackson says, and I have quoted this a lot, if what you're trying to do can be done in your own lifetime, you're not thinking big enough. So, you know, I'm the age of your father, for example, and I've been, you know, fussing about these things for, 30 or 40 years. And as Eric Schlosser has noted, it's done nothing but go backwards. It's kind of discouraging. However, when I see your generation offer some pragmatic steps based on experience that you and your dad have been working on, this is hopeful. This is helpful. And you know, thank you.
Yes, good news. We'll be back to talk more with Nick Wallace. This is KHOI Community Radio, and this is the Donalana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa.
Thank you.
Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. I like music, so I like to grab onto music and try to bring it into the show here. And I was looking for something that would be sort of apropos of our talk here with Nick Wallace and Grass-Fed Beef. And that was a tune called Bull at the Wagon by the Barnall
called
Band.
Called what?
Bull at the Wagon.
Bull at the Bull. Wagon.
From the Barnall Band. We're talking to Nick Wallace. He is talking about why things need to change a bit in Iowa agriculture and what his idea is for doing it.
Well, I have so many questions, Nick. I have to say, funny thing happened on the way to the studio this morning, right here in downtown Ames. I see a pink delivery van, and it says on it, Imperfect Foods. And I'm going, I read about these guys. There's some California company that is like selling the less than perfect produce. Great idea. Da, 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 da. I'm thinking, but in Ames, what are they doing in Ames? So I holler at the young man who's dropping off the big box of Imperfect Foods to one of my neighbors. And I say, where is your company based? Oh, in California. And I'm going, except that you didn't just come from California. Do you have a distribution in Des Moines or something like that? And he says, yes. And I'm wondering, Nick, how are we penciling out this home delivery service? You have now switched from, like, you used to come to Ames for all of these years, and at a certain place, at a certain time, you'd be in the truck, and everybody would come and pick up their pre-order, and now you're going to deliver directly to homes. How do you pencil in that?
Well, good question. So I hit the ceiling about 4 or 5 years ago. We grew and grew and grew for 15 years, right? Mm-hmm. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, we stopped growing. And we thought, all right, well, this is new, right? It happens. And what happened was two things. Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Changed everything. Home delivery. Everything was easy, home delivery. A lot of other people did it too. UPS, FedEx. I mean, we're just seeing
it's crazy, 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 crazy.
Yep. And then the other thing that happened was there was a huge mass amount of imported, quote unquote, grass-fed beef, Uruguay, New Zealand, Tasmania, whatever, right? And so it was in the grocery store, right? It was
cheap.
It was prevalent. So
ish, cheapish.
Yep. Those are the two reasons why I thought we stopped growing. One of those I can change, that being home delivery. And the other one, imports, cheap grass-fed beef that nobody has a story or history and it, you know, money doesn't stay here. I don't want to, you know, go on the negative. People can decide if they want to support that or not. So now here's how it pencils out. And this could be exciting. So we're trying to build a community, right? Those three communities, one farmer community, processor community, and then customers being a community in itself, right? I mean, that Facebook's a community, Twitter's a community, Instagram, they're all communities, people being able to share and talk with each other. My goal and vision is to build a customer community. So, Donna, I know where you live, nice little tree-lined neighborhood, right? Cozy.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get you and 5, 6, 7, 8, 12 other neighbors of yours, that van can almost act like the post office and just zigzag across yards, dropping off boxes every week or every other week or whatever the schedule is, right? That once you hit a tipping point, you flip the coin and it becomes really efficient for us to have a hub in Keystone, come to Ames and drop off 100 boxes or 200 or whatever we can fit in the van or truck and have it all delivered that afternoon. The fuel and the energy on that is minimal compared to flying something in from another state and then a truck goes to the depot and then the hub and then the van goes out from there. So, and maybe we can run them on biofuel. Maybe we can run them on, electric. We can use the technology of today to make that be a.
Well, okay, so you're making that leap this month, right? How long do you think, and what kind of growth incentive are you going to have to get to that point where it's economically an improvement over what you had already done?
Well, I know that if you stay stagnant like I was, that that isn't, it's not a viable business model. Mm-hmm. So do I, I don't know. I would say if we can get to 40 to 50 Ames customers per delivery cycle, we're already winning.
Close are you to that? I mean, you already have a customer.
Oh, we haven't launched yet. We launch on October 12th.
Right, so. But you have an Ames customer base already.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably not quite that big. Uh-huh. So, maybe we need to double, but maybe I'll give you a yard sign, right? And we'll say, skip the politics, skip the politicians. Maybe we'll have change agriculture in your front yard, and then we can get some.
I'll take it. I'll put one up in my yard.
Yeah, that sounds good because we so often let big corporations and other people make choices for us, and where we buy things and who we support. That's a very powerful thing. What you do with your money, what you do with your choices. Nick, do you have any special labeling? Does this stuff get labeled as 99 county products?
It'll be labeled 99 counties, and we are working with our processors. We're not all of them are on board yet because it's an extensive process. But we have started with a few of them labeling which farm each cut of meat comes from.
Ah.
So my goal in the end is to get to full transparency. I want you two to be able to go to your 99 counties page, where your order page, what mm-hmm. you've ordered in the past, and I want you to be able to see the farms you've supported and the amount of bees, butterflies, and birds that you've brought back. A full biodiversity improvement chart, if you will.
Okay, now on these pages, are you also going to be able to put, a lot of this rather new nutritional information? I mean, we've all learned about grass-fed beef and conjugated linoleic acid and things like that, but you were also talking about the other...
Phytonutrients.
Yeah, the phytonutrients, which is... the science behind this is so new that, a lot of people don't even know. I mean, of course, it makes intuitive sense that whatever your animal is eating is going to be translated into nutritional quality in its, in its own body. I mean, this is also right. True that, they've been arguing for a long time whether organic vegetables are more nutritious. And in certain instances, they have finally gotten some science behind it. But it takes millions of dollars in research just to do this kind of science. And of course, it has not been done largely because it does not benefit. In fact, it's detrimental to the vast majority of the industrial food system. But some of this is happening, and will that kind of information be on your website?
Not yet, but it will be. I mean, like you said, it's a big undertaking. I think what will happen is we'll partner with somebody who's leading that pursuit. Mm-hmm. Like I think Dan Kittredge, right, is... can't forget what his company's called, but they're doing the work where you can hold up a handheld device and scan your food, and it'll tell you the phytonutrient levels, right? So if you have two carrots and you're trying to decide which one, and you can scan it and be like, oh, well, this one has 10 times the phytonutrients. I mean, whether it's double in price or not, which one would you put in your cart, right? Assuming you have the money.
And this is scanning the carrots, not scanning a label on the carrots.
No, I think it's actually scan. See, everything is energy, and it's all spectral energy. It's all it's all communicating all the time. We just have to be able to read it.
Right? So there's now ever been a handheld device that does this?
They're working on it. I believe Dan, I think it's Dan Kittredge.
I don't know this one. It's amazing.
I think they're working on it. But imagine someday your cell phone, you walk through the grocery store, or hopefully you're not shopping, hopefully you're buying your meat from us, but you just hold up a piece of food, and not only does it, a simple improvement or decline in your energy would probably be efficient for me, right? If you've ever been muscle tested, I don't know if you know what muscle testing is. Mm-hmm. It's your body is constantly telling you what it wants or what it needs and what it doesn't want. I have a chiropractor who does energy work, and so, she'll hold up something you're allergic to, muscle test you, and you have, your strength is diminished, like as she pushes your hand down. Or she'll make a correction, and your strength comes back. So it's not a stretch to have a cell phone register this communication of energy between us and our food, right? I mean, it's used
what's it called, mass spec? Astronomy? Something like that? It is some kind of... I mean, I know they make these machines that... Like, they use them... We interviewed years ago this guy at the Bread Lab out in Washington, D.C., Washington State, who's breeding different kinds of, of wheats and things like that. And they have a lot of this equipment, which tells the nutrient density. I mean, it's very scientific. It's very quantifiable. It does measure nutrient density.
Wow. That sounds like a good thing. What a good thing is I think after our little run-in with the COVID experience here, and maybe other things are changing our mind too, I think we're being a little more introspective as to what we value, right? Or at least I hope we are. The idea of getting to know your farmer, getting to know where your food comes from, being a little bit more aware.
And trying to be healthier, for goodness sake.
And I think your concept of calling your new adventure 99 Counties is fantastic, because all of a sudden, oh, yeah, Iowa has 99 counties. As I recall, in talking to people who have lived in Iowa all their life, I wasn't born here.
She's from Wisconsin.
I immigrated from Wisconsin. But I heard that in older Iowa school rooms, students had to memorize all the names of the 99 counties. And, well, what that does, it makes a picture in your brain, and it makes a picture of something to be proud of, I think. And connecting up, when we eat, we're not just our mouth, we're not just our body, we are our mind, too. Things taste better when we know that the meat comes from Nick, or the carrot comes from Gary, or whatever.
It's fresher, too, because it's a shorter distance from from the farmer to the person. Tell me what kind of products are on your truck right now. Beef?
We do grass-fed beef, mm-hmm. and we do it's pork is antibiotic hormone free, non-confinement, right? So we've mm-hmm. got some pork producers like Jude Becker that we work with that he's out on pasture all the time. Mm-hmm. We've got some guys that run them out inside, outside, depending on the elements, depending on, how many sows they have, all the different types of things.
So if I wanted to buy Jude Becker pork, I could get that from you.
Well, I don't want to go as far as say you can pick and choose from our farmers. You're just going to buy from 99 because we're all going to have the same core elements of how we farm. Chemical free, no fungicide, herbicide, pesticide, right? Those are gone. Non-GMO, we're giving the as Joel Salatin would say, we're going to let the animals express themselves and be, let a chicken be a chicken, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is a non-confinement style. Every farmer kind of has its own little, quirks and buildings are old or new, right? So I don't want to handcuff our farmers. Right, we need them,
group standards.
Yeah, we're going to have standards, and they'll be very transparent. And we're going to document it because you just don't see a lot of transparency in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Even with some of those labels, and I'm not going to throw out names, you know, if you go into Wheatsfield and there's certain companies in there that have meat products, you probably still can't get as close to that farmer as maybe you want.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So to me, as a shopper, I want to try to eliminate that as much as possible. I mean, we want that contract to be as close as possible to a person who's hungry and wants to feed themselves and their family and the farmer who's got food to give to them, right? We put so many layers in between us and our food, right? We've got to start removing those layers. And when we do, it's golden. It is beautiful.
Well, the effect of that is also that you actually educate the consumer.
Yes, we do. Good. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You listen to KHOI Community Radio. You can find out more about this fine radio station and the Donna Lana Kitchen at www.khoifm.org. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. We're talking to Nick Wallace.
So Nick, if you're getting all of this information on the website about the agricultural practices and the way the animals are raised, you, because you are a farmer, you know the right questions to ask. And it does help the eaters go, oh, gee, I never thought about, gee, do they do that to pigs? Oh, I don't want to eat the pig that's been treated like that. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. So this is actually very important work. So, okay, so you've got beef, pork, what else?
Chickens.
Chickens.
And then we're just getting into our harvest of our first turkeys.
Oh.
We'll be here in a couple weeks.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
Very good.
In time, and then we'll sell those as many as we can whole for the holidays,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll start offering you know, ground turkey and turkey sausages and some other things.
Okay, so you can do further processing like as you said, sausages and hams and things like that.
I love I've got a little bit of a culinary background as you do too. I love to create art, research, development and creation is probably the most favorite part of my life. And so if I could spend more time there, that's what I'd like to do and then bring as many different cuts and varieties and flavors.
Oh, Nick, here's my long-time dream, and call me if we want to do this. I think we should be making pâtés and charcuterie out of some of the bits and pieces. And, you know, I actually one time even talked to Mike Lorenz about how to do that. It could be done. I think it would be a very exciting way to use up some of the parts that are people are not, you know, like the tongues and the cheeks and the da-da-da-da-da, you know. Love to do that. That's a real value added product too.
Amen. I love all those things.
Very good. I often when I talk to farmers on the Donna Lana Kitchen, I often ask. Here's two questions for you, Nick. Why do you farm and why beef cattle? Why do you pick of all the things you could be farming? Why beef cattle?
I think this is another thing I think that we've let go that we shouldn't. You can't remove animals from the land mm-hmm. and call it a farm.
Fertility.
Not trying to, and just, I don't know, it's just this like essence of a farm without animals. Just, it changed. It doesn't have, it rings hollow to me. And so, you know, ruminants especially, right? can take the power of the sun and turn it into energy for us, and we need to respect that. And there's just something about, you know, a ruminant animal munching on a lush pasture or dropping a calf or, you know, ruminating. you know, and pigs and chickens all have their, you know, their own cool things that they do for the land. You know, but they sustain us, right? We all become connected, and it's good husbandry that's been lost. It's good nutrition. It's good chores for the kids. It's all good things. We just have to remember it. We have to get back to it, you know?
Good. Yes.
Let's get those pigs out of the buildings and back onto the pastures.
Yes. Well, everything likes green and grass. Oh, also, you practice rotational grazing, which is kind of, you know, that's become kind of a word that many people of us even understand now. You move the cows around. They don't just sit in one place. That's important for the grass to grow, et cetera. But you do that. I mean, cowboys on horses used to rotational graze, move them around. But there's kind of a new way to cowboy your beef now. You move fences. How is the moving fences thing? It always seems quite a hassle to me.
You know, that's the thing about how I want to go back to the 1950s and 60s, but I want to bring technology with me. So electrified fence and a reel, you can control a huge herd of animals just by them knowing that if they touch that, they're going to get a little bit of a tickle they don't like. Now, that's the technology of now. You know, Megan, who was formerly at PFI.
Megan Schobert, yep.
She's working with a new technology where they're putting collars on cows, and there's no fence. I think that's what the company's called, is no fence. There's a couple of them out there. I think that's the only one in the United States. So you can literally set your computer and tablet to tell the cows, I only want to graze this. And I think it just takes a little bit of training, and then you're off to the races. And imagine that. I mean, it's
have
it's
you tried similar. Any of it yet?
I have not.
Sounds amazing. It sounds amazing. Cows got used to being milked by electric milking machine. We can teach cows new things, and we can teach ourselves new things too. That's an amazing technology that's coming up. So it's learning new things.
Yeah, I think it's harder for us to learn than it is for these animals.
Well, yeah, we got to do the complicated technology part, right?
Right.
Well put. Well, so you talk about delivering boxes from 99 counties and building up a network of people. I think the neighborhood model works really well for this sort of thing. That's good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, the one thing that I want to leave people with is, you know, we're never going to replace the grocery store, right? You know, that's a place of community as well. And think about all the products that you can find in the grocery store. But what I do want to leave with people, and there are a few outliers here, but for the most part, you know, us, the small family farm will never be in business with the grocery store, because the grocery store's got to scale everything. It has to have the certain margins. It's got to have the right path. You know, there's so many things that go in that are involved with becoming a producer for a grocery store. So my big push here is to have people just commit to, you know, cliche, $99 a month will be a minimum box that you can participate, a changing agriculture box. Maybe it's $150. If people would just get their core ground beef, ground pork, some sausages, brats, snack sticks, summer sausage, maybe Donna's new pate, right? if they would just commit to that, and they could still go to the grocery store and salt and, you know, rice and olive oils and things that, you know, we're not going to produce here in Iowa. If they just did that once a month, imagine if you had 500 people in Ames that did that once a month, and then you had 1,000 people in Des Moines, and then in Chicago you had thousands, right? Each month, if you start adding those numbers together, we will change agriculture. It's that simple. Now, yes, is it a couple dollars more per pound than what you might find at Aldi's or Trader Joe's or Whole Foods or whatever, right? And I don't even want to call it Whole Foods anymore. It's Amazon, okay? Let's not confuse ourselves. This is all corporation-driven. I'm not necessarily anti-corporation. I am when it comes to our food and our culture and the fabric of who we are and where we've become. So that is, I'm going to beat that drum as long as I have to get 99 counties in everybody's front porch for a delivery.
Good for you. Good for you. And also,
only focus.
Keep beat your drum a little bit and tell us how people can contact you.
Right, your website.
So Wallace Farms is still live and active. We have one more week. But if you go to 99counties.com, you can sign up to get all the, you know, the new blast of information and start downloading it and sign up. And we will be on your front porch by the following week. So everyone can sign up to get an October delivery of, 99 Counties Farmers products.
And where do I get my yard sign?
You and I have to create it. We have to make it.
Okay.
we need to make it like we're kind of poking fun of all the politicians who bombard.
Well, now would be the season to get those signs out there, right?
So how do we make it stand out, right? I mean, maybe we need more than one, but I think there's something there. It could be fun.
Yeah. Probably easier to create a yard sign than a pate line, okay, Nick?
Yeah, you're right. But we can do it. Let's do it.
Oh, I'd love to.
Maybe we'll make that our 2023 goal.
Good.
Excellent.
Thank you for being with us today. We've been talking to Nick Wallace. He has a wonderful project, and keep your ears and eyes open for it, called 99 Counties. That refers to Iowa. 99 Counties. Yes, it does. Well, thank you all for joining us today on the Donna Lena Kitchen. The Donna Lena Kitchen is also available as a podcast.
Yes, just wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify or Apple or any old place, just type in Donna Lena, that's one word, D-O-N-N-A-L-O-N-N-A, second word, kitchen, and we will pop up and fill your ears there.
Yes, if you just can't get enough of us. Good. You've been listening to the Donna Lena Kitchen. We come to you every Tuesday, live at noon, and we're repeated 7 p.m. on KHOI Community Radio. Or you can find us anytime, download, stream, all that sort of stuff at khoifm.org. Support this fine community radio station. We had music today by the Barn Owl Band. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
We had excellent engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.